For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Revelation chapter number 3 in the Word of God today, if you'll turn there with me. Man, thank the Lord for His blood. Thank the Lord for His Son, for salvation in Him, for security of the believer. I don't have to stay saved and keep myself saved. I don't have to do anything. He did it all. His blood was enough. The blood of lambs and goats could never purge our sin. But the blood, the precious blood of God's Son, the Lamb of God, that's all it took. And God was satisfied. Propitiation for our sin was in Him. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3. As we look at the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we know that the author, the penman, the human writer was John, the Apostle John. And he's writing as he is exiled to this island of Patmos. And he wrote the gospel record according to John. And as he wrote there, and I even alluded to that earlier in the service in John chapter 1, he wrote of the beginning of it all. He said, in the beginning was the Word. And he goes on to tell us that when we beheld Him, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ revealed us, to us, God. As He walked upon the earth, Hebrews tells us He was the expressed image of God. The only way for human eyes to be able to physically see a spiritual God. For He is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The only way for human eyes to behold Him and to see the expressed image of God was for God to come in flesh. And He robed Himself in flesh through His Son, bodily living upon the earth. And the Word that He spoke of in chapter 1, verse 1, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. And He was going about revealing God to man. As we come to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, we find the same thing. Jesus Christ being revealed to us as God. In the book of John, in the gospel records, we find that He came, and even John the Baptist pointed out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came as a lamb. He came as a sacrifice. He came to offer His blood on the cross. He came to die and to be placed in a tomb, but to conquer that tomb, to conquer that grave, to conquer death, and He came alive as God Himself only could do. And He ascended to the Father, and He said, "I'm coming again, and I'm coming quickly." We find in the book of the Revelation that He is again revealing Himself. The revelation, He is pulling back the curtain, and He is showing us not only His plans, but He is showing us Himself. He's revealing to us God in Jesus Christ. And in the book of the Revelation, He's coming not as a lamb, but He's coming as a conquering King. He's coming as our Savior, but yes, He's coming as a judge on this earth. And just before, in the book of the Revelation, and just before He reveals His coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He has somewhat to say to His church, to us. Before He catches us away, He has something to say to us. Before He comes in His glory and His power and His authority, He has these messages, these letters to these churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he writes to each of them a different message. We're looking here in Revelation chapter 3. We'll begin in verse number 14 in a moment as he is writing to the church of Laodicea. And he's writing this letter, this message to the church. Each of these churches was a particular church. He was writing to them and speaking this message to them, but these messages also are to the church of today. These messages represent the churches of this day and what God would have to say to us before He comes. We begin reading here in verse number 14. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll notice that these are the words of Christ in red. This is Christ revealing Himself and speaking to His church what He would say. And He says in verse number 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Christ says in verse 18, "I counsel thee." Do we want Christ's counsel for the church? "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy at the shame of thy nakedness not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love," you see the love of Christ for His church, "as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I want to draw your attention back up to verse number 20. And one little phrase in this verse, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." He says, "I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." That little phrase that Jesus says, "I will come in. I will come in." I want to speak on this subject just for a moment. Room for Jesus. Room for Jesus. Can we pray together? Would you pray as I pray? Would you ask the Lord to help as I preach? And would you ask the Lord to help you as He speaks? Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for what we've heard and seen and experienced already. Lord, we've come to worship You. Lord, we've come to hear from You. Lord, I pray that You would preach to our hearts this message. May there be room for You. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. John is describing, actually here, Jesus is describing. In His words, He is describing a church, a people that do not know what they're missing. They don't know what they're missing. He describes this church of Laodicea. And by the way, let's not be too specific. that he's only speaking to the church of Laodicea. He's speaking to us. Many believe that he's speaking to the church of this age. He is speaking to us, and he is describing a church that does not know what they are missing. Look, if you would, again at verse number 17. He said, I have somewhat to say to thee, but verse number 17, because thou sayest, this is their own self-perception, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But notice what Jesus says, and knowest not. This is his perception. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, you're missing something. And you don't even know what you're missing. He said, you say that you're rich and increased with much goods and have need of nothing. Have we come this morning not knowing what's missing? But Jesus said, you know not that you're poor. Not rich, but poor. Not good, but wretched and miserable. And blind, he says, you're blind and you don't know it. He said, you're naked and you don't know it. Unclothed in shame, just exposed in shame. And he said, you don't even know it. You don't know what you're walking around like. Shamefully walking around unclothed, naked, blind, without vision. Blind and don't know it. A church that doesn't know what they're missing. He describes them on here in verse number 15 as not being cold or hot. He said, you're not cold. You're not hot. He said, but you're lukewarm. I don't mean to use a silly example here, but some people are coffee drinkers. I'm not one. But those who drink coffee like it hot, right? You like it hot? You like your coffee hot. Some of you like it iced coffee, right? Cold, chilled, hot or cold. Not too many people, and I don't know anybody that likes it lukewarm. You let either one, cold or hot, you let it sit long enough, it becomes lukewarm. By letting it sit, it just becomes lukewarm. Apathy. Just letting it sit. Increased with goods, materialistically speaking, maybe. Rich, by far the richest nation we get to enjoy. Wonderful facilities God has provided. But if you just let it sit, if a church just sits, if a Christian just lets their Christian life just sit, it's neither hot or cold. It becomes lukewarm. And we don't even know it. We don't even realize it. Don't even recognize that there's no fire there. There's no heat there. Really? What were they missing? They were missing Jesus. They were missing the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their church, in their lives, individually. They made no room. Made no room for Him. The title of the message, No Room for Jesus. I'm not condemning or trying to even pronounce that upon our church, but I'm asking the question, is there room for Jesus here? Is He here today? Is He in our song that we sing? Is He in our worship? Is He in our Sunday school classroom? Is He in each of us as we come and gather in His name? Is there room for Him when I sit in the morning to read His Word? Have I made room for Him? When I start off to work, is there room for Him? When we gather these meetings throughout a week, just a few of them, so few. Is there room? Do we bring Him here? Do we invite Him here? This church was meeting time after time that Jesus was talking about here. They were meeting, but they were missing. They were missing something. Yes, they had a church, but the problem was it was their church and not His church. How do we know that? Look where Jesus is. He's knocking at the outside, asking to come in. If there will be room for Jesus, I'm going to give you three things to lay upon your heart this morning. If there will be room for Jesus, number one, there has to be an inviting of His presence. An inviting. There has to be an invitation for Him to come. The Scripture tells us in Matthew 18, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in My name," He said, there am I in the midst." Where does the Lord Jesus come? Where does He appear? Where does He show up? He shows up where He is invited. He comes where He is wanted, where people that are longing to be with Him, that's where He shows up. He's not looking to show up with the apathetic. He's not looking to come to the lukewarm church. He's looking for one that is on fire, that is ready, that is anticipating and saying, "Lord, we invite You to be here. Lord, we need You here. Lord, we want You here. Lord, this is Your church. Please come. Lord, please come." Have we asked the Lord to come meet with us? We take His Word each morning, each day, as we try to walk with the Lord. Do we pray what David prayed? "Search me, O Lord. I'm inviting You, Lord. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." It's an invitation for the Lord to come as we read His Word. He is invited when His Word is preached, when His Word is read, when His Word is spoken. It invites Him to come. He is invited when we worship. As we sing the songs, those great hymns of the faith. And we've sang some great ones today. We've heard some great singing today. And the choir sang a great song today. All of our worship should be inviting to the Lord. The Scripture tells us that He inhabits the praises of His people. That means He dwells in the middle of those who are worshiping Him. As we adore Him and as we tell Him who He is, "God, You are our God. Jesus, You are our Savior. Your blood is our redemption and the price of our salvation." As we tell Him who He is and what He's done for us, that is worship. And it invites Him. And it makes room for Him. Does that worship warm your heart? Does it warm you? Does it stir something in you to invite the Lord? As we invite Him with our worship and His Word and just our willingness to have Him here. A willingness. We often get into routine, don't we? And we run right through it. We check the boxes. We run through it. We can't wait for the next box, and let's get to the next thing, and let's move on from here, and here's church is over. Now let's get to the next thing, and on to the next thing. But do we ever just stop and just be willing for the Lord to move in? "Be still and know that I am God. Stand still and let God move. Just a willingness. Stop the rush. The 12 o'clock, the noon hour, it'll come, but did Jesus come? Is the question.
Amen.
Was the Lord here? We met. Did Jesus meet with us? Were we willing to have Him, to invite Him? Nobody wants to be an uninvited guest. Nobody wants to knock on the door and show up at somebody's house uninvited to a meal, much the less. The Lord Jesus doesn't want to be an uninvited guest. In fact, He will not be an uninvited guest. Our willingness invites Him. Our warmth invites Him. A warm heart, not a cold heart, not a lukewarm heart. How's your temperature today? We're in a time where we're taking the temperature, right? Everybody's checking. Do I have a fever? That's not what I'm talking about. How is the temperature spiritually of our heart as we come today? Is it inviting to the Lord Jesus, or is it cold? You're out here on this parking lot, we have those old diesel church buses. And those old diesel church buses, they have a purpose. On Sunday morning, they're going to bring people to church. But on a cold January winter morning, those diesel church buses have to be plugged in. They have to be plugged into the power. You can't just show up and plug them in. They have to have been plugged into the power. And that keeps that old engine warm. Keeps that engine block warm because that old diesel doesn't want to fire up on a cold day in January. It's been plugged in. Wow, fires right up. But you get here and that thing hadn't been plugged in. Bus driver jumps into that old cold bus seat. First one out on the church parking lot in the morning. You bus drivers, you know what I'm talking about. He jumps in, sticks the key in the ignition, and that old slow diesel engine starter's trying to crank, and that thing's just not firing up. Eventually, after enough cranking, kapow, pow, 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 she'll start firing. And the black smoke will start rolling. And after 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, that thing starts to warm up, and then it's just a humming. And it's ready to go. It's ready to fire and send out and get children, and the wheels on the bus start going round and round. And the kids on the bus say, yak, yak, yak. Amen. All the way to Sunday school. You know, sometimes our heart is like an old diesel bus. That engine, that heart in us, if we haven't been plugged in to the power, if we haven't been plugged into the source ahead of time, preparing for the Lord's day, if we haven't been plugged in, we show up and the song leader says, turn to this great old hymn number such and such, Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever. And we stand and we start to sing. And I wonder if it almost sounds like that old bus. Rawr, 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 rawr. Just cold heart. It's supposed to be praise unto the Lord. It's supposed to be already warmed up. It's supposed to be ready to just sing it. I mean, just fire and let it go. But it's rah, 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 my Savior for. And the preacher gets up. We pray. It's just rah, rah. The heart's just not ready to turn over. And then the pulpit is mounted and the Word of God is given, and maybe somewhere along the line, pow, 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 the thing starts firing. and the black smoke starts to roll. And maybe by the time the end of the service, we're fired up and ready to go. Could you imagine how much better it would be if we were already plugged in?
Amen.
And our heart was already warmed up, heated up, red hot. And all we had to do was say, turn to hymn number 68. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm ready for that one. Preach it. Sing it. And we're just ready to fire. And as soon as that key turns over, man, it's rolling. And that engine's humming. And we're off to pick up the kids. We're off to serve the Lord. We're off to sing His praises. We're off to worship. We're ready to obey when the preaching goes. And there's nothing more uninviting than an old, hard, cold bus seat on a Sunday, January Sunday morning. But you get that thing warmed up, get the kids on there, get them singing. It's exciting. And it's pleasing to the Lord. But there's nothing more uninviting to the Lord Jesus Christ than a cold, hard-hearted Christian that walks in on a Sunday morning, sits down in a cold pew, and has to have everything warmed up and cranked up before we can worship the Lord and invite His presence. Do we know what's missing? It's His presence.
Amen.
Is there room for Jesus? If there will be room for Jesus, there has to be an inviting of His presence. Have you brought the Lord an invitation today? Have you invited Him here with you? Number two, if there will be room for Jesus, there must be an expecting of His presence. An expecting of His presence. An expectancy. Do we really expect Jesus to be here? At 320 Charleston Drive, we pull in the parking lot. Is there an expectancy? When we're getting the kids ready on Sunday morning, Saturday night, let me just be practical. Saturday, getting ready for church. Not ready for the ball game. Those things all come. Mowing the lawn, whatever, those chores. Make preparation for the Lord's house. Have an expectancy. Kids, in the morning, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to meet with God's people. The Lord is going to be there. And we're going to be ready for Him. Kids, we're going to put on our best. We're not going to sling on something we pulled out of a drawer that's wrinkled up and just whatever we'd throw on to play in the yard. We're going to come expecting to see Jesus.
Amen.
He's going to be there.
Yes.
We're expecting Him. We're not going to drag out of bed and hope our coffee wakes us up before we pull in the parking lot. We're going to get up and prepare ourselves, get that heart warmed up, get that motor stirring, because we're expecting that Jesus is going to be there, and we're going to expect to meet with others who have already met with Jesus. And when we all get there, it's going to be hot and it's going to be on fire, and the pulpit is going to be mounted by the preacher. And when God speaks, we're going to be ready, and there's going to be room for Him, an expectancy. If we expect Him, we'll be looking for Him, right? We'll be looking for Him. We'll be looking for the one who purchased this church. We'll be looking for the one who saved us and the one who we say that we're meeting here for. We'll be looking for Him if we're expecting Him. And I don't mean that to be presumptuous of the Lord. I'm not saying the Lord has to do what we want Him to do. But I am speaking of an anticipation, a faith-filled hope that we're going to gather together, and where two or three are gathered in His name, the Lord says, I'm coming to meet with you. And we're anticipating that we may not know when and we don't know how or just exactly the moment, but the Lord is going to show up and He's going to stir this place, and there's going to be a wind, a sweet breeze from the Lord that blows through, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to make Himself known. I'm talking about an expectation, looking for Him to come, a revival, a spirit. The Lord is here. Rachel and I, we're in the mode in our home now. We've got two children at home and one that's away. She's in college. Madison's in Tennessee, 6 hours away, or 5 hours and 25 minutes to be exact. But when Madison's coming home, there's an expectancy. We know she's coming. This week, Madison's coming home, we start saying. She'll be home Friday. Oh, we can't wait. You know what else? When there's an expectancy, there's preparation. Rachel goes to the grocery store. Got to make a Walmart run. Madison's coming home. We're going to have everything she loves, everything she wants. If she needs anything, we're going to make sure she has it. Madison's coming home Friday. We're ready. Get her room ready. Make room for Madison. Clean her bed sheets. Make sure it's all fresh when she comes home. Girls, if you've been in her room, make sure she doesn't know it. When the cat's away. Poor girls, they share a bedroom. Madison has her own room. When she's gone, it's empty. And they still share a room, bless their hearts. But get a room ready. Preparation. Madison's coming home. Oh, it's Wednesday. Madison's coming Friday, just a couple more days. She's coming. There's an expectancy. This time, tomorrow morning, Madison will be here. Tomorrow morning, she's going to be here. Madison's coming today. Today. And we're watching. She's coming today. By the way, nowadays, you've got this little thing on your phone. You can watch where they're driving all the way. Yeah, we can. I mean, you can't. And that is a blessing. When you got your 18-year-old little daughter driving all the way across the country by herself. And we can see when she's left. Oh, she's stopping. Okay, she's stopping for gas and getting a break. Maybe getting a bite to eat. But she's coming. She's coming. We're going about our day, but we know Madison's coming. The hour is near. She's getting closer to home. You know what we're doing? We're gathering. We get everybody together. We're all at the house. I'm not down here at the church when she's coming. I'm at the house waiting. She's coming home. We're not watching TV. We're not playing video games. We're not mowing the lawn. You know what we're doing? We're at the door watching for that little ruby red car to come down the ridge. We can see it all the way down, and we know she's coming. And when she gets there, she pulls in that driveway. Madison's here! She's here. She pulls in the driveway. She doesn't have to come to the door. We meet her there. She doesn't have to come knocking. You know why? We were expecting her. We were waiting on her. We were looking for her. Company is coming. When company's coming, what do, ladies? You sweep the house. You clean everything. You get it all ready. Make a meal, preparation. Have we made preparation for the Lord to come? Are we watching for Him to come? This church wasn't that Jesus was talking about. You know why? You know how we know? He had to come knocking. They weren't looking for Him. He had to come knocking. When Jesus comes into the house, He crowds everything else out. When there's an expectation of Him coming, there's a lot of other things that just, they fall by the wayside. We're not worried about this or that. Some things don't seem as important now because Jesus is coming and we're expecting Him to show up. If He was coming to your house today, what would you change at your house? Convicting, right? Me too. If He was sitting down at your table today, what would change? What would you be putting on the dog, so to speak, because Jesus is there? Or would anything have to change? Are we expecting Him? Are we expecting Him in our life? In our home? Is there room? Is there room in the pew next to you for Him? Is there room when we sit down to read our Bibles? To get out of the routine and say, Lord, I'm going to make room for You. Right. Don't give Him 5 minutes and say, well, got to go get ready for work. Got to get ready for school. Make room for Jesus. Have an expectation that when you open His Word and that you pray, that He's going to show up.
Amen.
Room for Him. Right. Do we expect Him to show up? There must be an inviting of His presence. There must be an expecting of His presence. And there must be a, number three, a receiving of His presence. Receiving. This particular church was not inviting Him, and they were not expecting Him. So what was Jesus left to do? What was He left to do with a church that was not inviting Him, with people who were not even expecting Him? He was left to stand at the door. In verse 20, He was left to stand at the door and knock and knock and knock. He was left, if they weren't going to invite Him, He was left to make an invitation of His own. To make an invitation of His own. He wasn't inviting Himself. He's not that presumptuous. He was inviting them to His request. Look at verse 20 again, if you would. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's His invitation. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with Me. The invitation, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The invitation, His invitation was to, the same invitation that He's given to you and I, to open the door. To open the door. The invitation is the same today. He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. Have you made room in your heart for the Lord today? Let me talk to the unsaved in the room. Is there room in your heart for the Lord Jesus? This passage, He's speaking to a group of believers. He's speaking to a church. But He's also speaking this same invitation to those who have not chosen to allow Him to save them. He's saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. His invitation is, will you open the door? Will you open your heart's door? Listen, there are too many that will stand before Him someday, and He has stood before them long enough, knocking and knocking, and He has stood at your heart's door today, knocking and knocking and knocking, and one day you'll stand before Him when it's moments too late to open the door. The moment you breathe your last breath, it will be moments too late to open the door for Him. And you'll stand before Him then wanting in.
Amen.
But it'll be too late. It'll be too late. The invitation is now. He offers that so openly and graciously and humbly. I'm standing at your door knocking. A knock at the door. It's alarming, isn't it? You've been sitting at home and someone knocks at the door. You know that jarring, alarming feeling? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Uh-oh, somebody's here. That knock. It's unsettling. It disturbs. It's persistent. He's knocking. He's knocking at your heart's door. It's faithful. It's loving. He's loving you. He's inviting you to open the door. He'll come in. He'll come in if you'll make room for Him, for your salvation. Church, Christians, is there room here for him as he knocks? Notice what he says here. Let me close. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He says, "If any man hear my voice and open the door." The invitation can be given, the expectation that he will come can be there, but it's up to the individual person in the pew. He said, "If any man hear." He's looking for one person. Individually, you must receive his presence. I'm talking to Christians now. Yes, lost person, you must receive him. I can't do that for you. The person sitting next to you can't not receive him for salvation. But the same goes for his presence, church. If we want him here, you can't look at the pastor and say, "Bring him into our presence, Pastor." Can't look at the Sunday school teacher and say, "Okay, bring us into the presence of the Lord." Can't look at the choir and say, "Boy, I hope that song brings me into God's presence." It's personal. It's individual. He says, if you'll open the door, he said, I will come in. Room for Jesus. He says, "If any man will hear my voice." Will you hear his voice? Will you hear his knock? Will you open the door? Will you receive his presence? If you will, notice the promise, verse 20. "I will come in to him." Have you known his presence today? Have we? Will we? He says, "If you'll open, I'll come in." The sermon may be over, but the response is not. The message that Christ gave here is not, it's not been responded to until we open the door. Notice what he says here. He said, "If you make room for me," he said, "I'll make room for you." He said, "If you'll open the door," he said, "I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." Amen. That's fellowship. That's knowing his presence. Look at verse 21. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit," where? "With me." He said, "If you make room for me, I will make room for you." He said, "With me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." If you'll make room for Jesus, he says, "I'll make room for you." The same human author that wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ, John, wrote words that Christ spoke in John chapter 14. He said, he penned them down as God gave them to him. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." These are the words of Christ. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you'll make room for him, he'll make room for you. You know what he's doing? He's in heaven preparing your place. Believer, saved person, Christian, he's preparing a place for you. Room for you. In the presence of his Father at his throne. Here on earth, in his church, do we have room for him? Room for him.